Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
Our Father who in heaven reigns, how great and mighty is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now here on earth as is above. Oh, give to us our daily bread. And keep our hungry spirits fed. May all our satisfaction be in you whose grace has set us free. Give us hope, give us faith, help us trust in your grace.
Hello, and welcome to tonight's show. I am your host, Tanisha. My sweetheart is out with the children, having a father-children night, but he sends all of his love to you all. And tonight's show is going to be brief. I have some things I need to tend to, but I did not want to not pray over you and speak over you before the new year closes out. So the scripture that I got, because we're coming into 2023 quick, right? It's going to be on Sunday. So we've got a few days left in 2022. Let's make the most of it. What I got before coming on the show was just, let's recap real quick what we discussed at the beginning of this year. We talked about being very mindful of our words this year because this is a fertile year, right? Let's go to scripture. Got two for you tonight. Because this just came to me. A song came to me earlier while I was cooking. I was thinking about the show. And it's an old song by the Winans called Don't Be Deceived. And it says, don't you be deceived. Don't you listen to the devil. No. Let me look up the lyrics of that song too while I'm looking up the scripture. Because that song was in my head earlier. So I'm like, okay, I know that's going to play a part in tonight's show. And now it's kind of like coming together. Okay, yeah, it's called The Winans, Don't Be Deceived. Came out in 1984. I'm going to pull up the lyrics. And I'm pretty sure you guys know what scripture I'm going to go to. But let's go here. Give me a minute. Galatians 6:7. This is the scripture. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. Let's read that in the NIV. Okay, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And so at the beginning of the year, we talked about how this is a fertile year and to be very mindful of your words because your words are seeds too. You know, we're going to give an account for every word that we speak. So we need to be mindful of the things that we say. And that's something that I see a big problem with people. They're very reckless with their words. Like you watch reviews on products and stuff. Like I like to watch reviews on products and things. And one word that just people always say that drives me bananas is they'll say, I'm obsessed. First of all, that's unhealthy obsession. But they keep speaking it over themselves, speaking it over themselves, speaking it over themselves, speaking it over themselves. I'm obsessed with this. I'm obsessed with that. And everybody picks it up. So everybody's talking about, they can't just say they like something. No, that's not good. They have to say they're obsessed with it. Well, what does the Word of God say about obsession? Let's look it up. Shall we? Let me see if there's a scripture. Oh, hold on. Let me go to a different. I've got all this stuff on my phone. I'm going to look up what does Bible say. Funny what comes up after you say the Bible says. The first thing that popped up was cremation. That's interesting. So that means a lot of people be searching for that. Oops, not about boss. Okay, so let's see. What does the Bible say about obsession? So these are the scriptures that it gives. 1 John 2:15 through 17. And this is a ESV version. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, let's hit reverse. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Okay. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye and pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And then it also gives Matthew 6:24, also ESV, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, ESV also, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So there's a whole bunch, if you Google, what does God say about obsession? Let's look up the word obsession, because I'm just going somewhere with this, and like I said, God just be leading every show. Obsession definition. Okay. Ooh, I love Merriam-Webster's definition. A persistent, disturbing preoccupation with an often unreasonable idea or feeling, compelling and motivation, something that causes an obsession. Here's the synonyms, right? I mean, synonyms are things that are also equal to the word. Fetish, fixation, mania. So we know what we're supposed to fix our thoughts on. We're supposed to fix our thoughts on what's lovely, what's pure, what's true. So why are we saying, as people, we're obsessed with something, with an object? When the word of God says, don't love the world or the things of the world, the desires of the flesh, because that's what it is. Like, you know, if you like perfumes or purses or nice clothes or jewelry and all that kind of stuff, that's a flesh desire. That stuff, you're not taking that with you in eternity. But when the Lord comes back to rapture us, that stuff's not coming with you. That's a worldly thing. That's something that you enjoy here in the world. That's why people die, their family inherits those things. And then they can enjoy them while they're here in the world. It's okay to enjoy them, but to be obsessed, that's not godly. That's a sin. But yet, here people will be making these reviews, including believers, and saying, I'm obsessed. And some people can say, oh, it's just a figure of speech, but we're not like the world. Let the world, if the world want to do that, the world jump off a bridge, you're going to jump off a bridge? We're called to a higher authority. We're kingdom citizens. We're a royal priesthood. We don't do what they do. You don't let the world influence the things that you do. You don't let the world influence your speech. You act according to what the word of God says. And people, this is a fertile year. And we talked about, Terrence and I listened to the shows either at the end of last year of 2021 or the beginning of 2022, but we talked about being very mindful of the things that you say in this year, because the harvest is coming, and it's coming quick. It's not like where before, you know, things were harvest and it take forever and you'd be praying and fasting and thinking, Lord, is it going to ever happen? No, it's a quick turnaround, but yet people still using their words recklessly. I'm obsessed. Stop saying that. If you say that, don't say it no more. I'm telling you this as your friend in Christ. Do not say that anymore, that you're obsessed with some object. Just say you like it. It's okay to say, I like this, or this is cool, or I enjoy it, or this is nice, it's comfortable. Be mindful of your words, because that's one that this year, every time I hear it, I just cringe. Because do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. The word of God doesn't teach us about being mindful about our seed. It doesn't even teach us about being mindful about words for no reason. There's a reason. Everything in this word is for our instruction. Let's read the lyrics to the song, Don't Be Deceived. That's not it. It said it was, and it, that is definitely not. Let me put the wine in. So, you know, I guess there's another song called that, and them lyrics wasn't. Okay, this is definitely not it. Okay, maybe it's this one. Okay, I don't think it's coming up. Maybe because the song is so old. Because every time I click on it, it pulls something else. I'm gonna see if I could just remember it. I just know it says, well, just listen to the song. How about that? That way I don't have to waste time trying to find the lyrics. But it basically says, don't be deceived. And it gives a story about, you know, Satan and how he's trying to get you to fall like he fell. So don't listen to the devil, no. See, a lot of times people think listening to the devil is obvious, right? They think that he's going to come knocking at your door and say, hey, would you like to listen to the message of the... No, it doesn't happen like that. It's in influence. People, that's why influencers get brand sponsorships and they make all this money, because influence is powerful. There's power in influence. You could like somebody, like their home, like the way they decorate, this and the other, and now they're able to influence you because they got an opening in you. So now you start talking like them, acting like them, and doing the things that they do. That's how the devil comes in. Everybody don't serve God. And it's up to you as a believer to identify things that are not godly, that don't line up. You got to learn how to separate the meat from the fat. Because if not, you're going to get caught up and you're going to start doing the same thing that the world is doing. I see churches do it all the time. And I love them and I pray for them. But I see them trying to cater to the world. But we're supposed to be in it, but not of it. So why are we trying to mimic the world that's decaying, that's dying, it's death? Why if I'm a child of light and life, why would I try to mimic death? Make that make sense. But it doesn't make sense, and it won't make sense, because that's not what we're called to do. We're called to lead, not to follow the world. We already know the outcome of it. That's why they're in turmoil. That's why they're messed up. That's why they're dark. That's why they can't get right. And that's why I followed a lady, Paige, because I told you before, I like purses. And so sometimes I watch purse reviews and stuff like that. But she always used that obsession and all that kind of stuff. Well, then come to find out, she was talking about how she had such a problem with spending and buying and overspending and this and that. You the one saying you obsessed all the time. But it's like when you worldly, you don't even realize that you be setting your own snares and traps. But she really came out later to say how, you know, she was having a tough time and she was struggling with overspending for stuff. But you always saying you obsessed with purses. That's what you be saying. That's what you say over yourself. So it's, but when people don't know better, they don't do better. But you should know better. You as a kingdom citizen, you as a child of God, you as the righteousness of Christ, you as the light in this world, you as the salt of the earth, you as a peculiar person called by Christ Jesus, saved and bought by the blood of Jesus, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you accepted that. Yes, that's you. You should know better. Quit allowing the trends of the world to shape and mold what you do, your speech, how you move, what you talking about, what you think, because they're doing it every day. I see some of the most absurd things. I like to stay in the loop. I like to stay in the know of what the world is doing so I could combat it. And I see believers, even pages I follow on social media, I see the people who are called, they do the same thing. Slap a little scripture on a little Jesus fish to sanctify it. You can't sanctify stink. It's like taking dog poop and dipping it in sugar and serving it. It's still poop. And that's what I see a lot of people trying to do, trying to fit in and blend in. It's not your job to fit in and blend in. What part of peculiar is confusing? Somebody who's peculiar stands out. They're not like the norm. It says we are a peculiar people, which means that we don't do things like the norm. So why are we trying to blend in? It's not our job to blend in. That's not our job, to do the same things. It hurts my feelings. I see the pastors and stuff, they do the same things that the worldly people do. Same things. Except slap a little scripture on it. Try to justify the worldliness. Well, God is blessing me. This, that, and the other. It's fine. God is only blessing you when you get something new. God blessed me the moment I woke my eyes up. I don't need that. I got a new day. So why are you only calling blessings things? Like, yes, God blessed you with that. But why is that your focus? Every time you get something new, you want to post it and say, God, look at how God blessed me. Why you don't talk about, I woke up today, look at God blessed me. There's got to be balance. You can't train people to only think that blessings are things. You healthy, you blessed. You know how many people wake up in a hospital every day wishing that they didn't have whatever ailment caused them to be in there? It's a blessing to have health. You could be broke, poor, don't know where you're going to get your next meal, but you got your health, you're blessed. Your mind right? Guess what? You're blessed. You got shoes to put on your feet that actually fit. They ain't raggedy and talking in the front. You're blessed. You got food in your refrigerator. You got a refrigerator. You got a working oven. Your pipes didn't burst this winter. You're blessed. You got a bed to sleep in and a blanket. You got a whole pillow that matches your head shaping or adjusts to the heat or just a regular pillow. You ain't sleeping on rocks. You ain't collecting garbage to sleep on that. You're blessed. But just acting like the world. Look at what I got. I'm blessed. Or still trying to show off what they got. Just show it. Who are you fooling? And I did not know I was going to go here tonight. But to circle back, we need to be mindful of the things that we're doing. We need to be mindful of the things that we're saying, because we're entering into 2023. And if we do enter into 2023, that's a blessing. I don't care if you living in the slums of roaches. If you enter into 2023, that's a blessing. All that other stuff could be sorted out. But we're going to see some harvest from what we did this year. And you still got time in this year. This is a fertile year. And this was a rough year. It was a test. Like I have a little sticky on one of my mirrors that I speak over myself every year. Something that God promised me that I'm going into. And it's between me and the Lord. Well, my husband knows too, because he wakes up in the same bedroom. But this year ain't matched what God has promised me. But I refuse to speak what the year was presenting versus what God has said. Because the year got aligned, the natural got to line up to what God has said. If God spoke it, I believe it, period. I don't care what circumstances are telling me or any human. What God says is the truth. So I've been speaking that. Every time I look at the sticky, I speak it over myself. Because I know that this is a fertile year. I need to be mindful of my seeds, because we're coming into a quick harvest. 2023, we're going to see a lot of prosperity. And it's a setup so that we can start to position ourselves to get out of the world system. So please stop trying to be like the world, because we're coming out of that. We're coming out of that. So it's okay if you enjoy some things, but you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, if you like nice things, there's nothing wrong with liking nice things. But you cannot be obsessed with them. And don't speak that. You can't be like, it's to die for. Nah, no, it's not. The only thing to die for is the gospel, period. And God, what God tells you, not no thing. I've seen it. I've heard stories. I like to watch stories about criminal cases, and you'll see cases where people will literally sacrifice their life because they don't want to let go of something that's mass produced that they could replace. Can't replace your life. Once it's gone here on this side of eternity, that's it. It's appointed unto man once to die and in judgment. You don't get to like come back. I don't care what they teach. You're not coming back as no flower, no butterfly, no another human. Karma, where they say, oh, whatever you put in another life, you're coming back to deal with. Nah, that's not true. They quit using that word too. I hear a lot of believers using that word karma. No, you reap what you sow. It's not karma. So be mindful of your speech and what you're even presenting. The universe didn't do nothing for you. God did it. So don't talk about that. Maybe it's the universe. No, it wasn't. There was no such a... No. That's a lie. It was God. And be mindful of people who only talk about God, don't ever talk about Jesus. They're talking about a God they can't get to without Jesus. Because we're coming into a time, and I'm going to read what God gave me before we came on here. For 2023. Proverbs 23. And it says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. That's what you need to be doing for 2023. Start now if you haven't already. Let's read that again out of the Amplified. Proverbs 23:23. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Because as these years go by, think about the Antichrist, right? We know who it is. We know his age. You really think he's about to be wrecking shop in the 70s? The man is 50-something years old. How much time do you really think we have? I don't know the exact year. I don't know that. God has not revealed that to me. But, I mean, come on. Even if he was a wreck shop in his 70s, that's only 20 years. 20 years go by fast. I still remember being 23 years old. I still remember that vividly. I'm 43. That was 20 years ago. It goes by fast. So even if it was 30 years, that's still, come on. I don't think it's even going to be that long, but that's just my own personal opinion. I don't know that to be a fact. That ain't written in red. That's just Tanisha's opinion. So things are going to start changing fast. Things are going to start moving right on along. We're going into this digital dollar, right? You guys are keeping up with that. We got the red heifers that have been given over. So we've got to wait some time to make sure that they're good. So things are happening, and you can't stop it. So you better buy the truth and not sell it. And you better get wisdom and instruction and understanding. I add the better. Because you're going to need it. There's going to be a lot of deceptive things. And there's going to be a separation. Even in the body of Christ. Because everybody who claim Christ ain't for Christ. Everybody who goes to a church building ain't part of the church. Because the church is not a building. That's a building. Right? People always say they're going to church. No, you are the church. You're the church. You can have church in the middle of the produce section at your local grocery store. You're the church. That's a building. Right? So you're going to congregate with the church. That's not church. So people always hear people, I got to get to church on Sunday because you're part of the church. If you need to congregate with somebody, call a fellow believer. You ain't got to wait. Pray right there in your living room. Do what needs to be done, but quit correlating a building with the church. That's a church building. That's a building where people, the church gathers together because there's strength in numbers, and we're called to congregate. You congregating right now. We having church right now. So we're going to see a lot of people who claim to represent the name of Jesus Christ or claim to represent the church. We're going to see a separation because everybody ain't in it for real. Everybody that's in ministry ain't called for it. Some people choose it as a profession. Don't even believe it. I was personally friends with a person whose family member was had a church for several years. It was a family thing. So, you know, it was like this person had the church and this person whatever, and this person just lived the most demonic life. Well loved, well respected. But I mean, I never sensed no God in that person. I mean, none. And just for praying, you know, and when that person passed into eternity, the story that was told as far as what was, you know, but you hear stories about when people die and sometimes they just die, you know, there's not always some grand story, but sometimes you hear people say that they see angels or they say, oh my gosh, the colors, or God is calling me, or I'm at peace, or whatever. And this person went out kicking and screaming and spitting. This man of God, this pastor. So my friend had asked me, where do I suppose said person went? I said, I don't know. But that don't sound good. Because everybody who claims the name ain't in it. There's scripture that backs that up. Where he's going to say, you know, people are going to say, but I was prophesying, I was casting out demons, I was doing all this in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you wicked. I never knew you. So this person is doing work, right? Let's look up that scripture. Let's not even paraphrase that. Let's look it up. Because God is going somewhere tonight. And we want to follow. Okay, let's go to Matthew 7. Let's go there. Why am I all the way at the bottom of Revelation? I don't know. I'm moving too fast. All right. So let's go Matthew 7:21. This is in red. So this is Jesus speaking to us, the church, the real church, right? The true believers. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many, catch that. Let me rewind. Many, okay? Listen to that word. Many will say to me on that day when I judge them, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many miracles in your name? And then I will declare to them publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me. You are banished from my presence, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. Let's go on to what he says in 24. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man, a far-sighted, practical, and sensible man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods and torrents came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish, stupid man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods and torrents came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great and complete was its fall. That is Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Everybody who's claiming Christ is not for Christ. And we are going to see a shift as these years go, people start teaching a new gospel. They start preaching a Mr. Potato Head Jesus that they could just add on whatever parts they want, and it's going to confuse some people. No, because everybody who prophesying and casting out demons, see, the name of Christ has power, so it don't matter if you're the fake and the fraud and the phony. That name is what carries the power, not the person. The person is a vessel. So whether they broke it or not, whether they meant it or not, God uses anything. And he could use anybody because the name of Jesus has the power, not the person. When I prophesy to you, it's not Tanisha. It's Christ through me, in me, that's prophesying to you. I don't have no power to do that. I'm not a perfect person by a stretch. But I love the Lord. I'm a servant of Jesus. And I love people, and I make myself available to be used how he sees fit for me to be used. But the power don't come from me. The only thing that comes from me is the obedience to do his will. Because I'm committed to that. But you could take a same person who committed to their pockets and will use the name of Jesus because there is power in the name. The devil knows that. That's why he wants people now, because what I'm seeing now with the shift, I like to follow the trends of what the people, the world, what are they gravitating towards? Because one part of it was like chakras and crystals and the universe and vibrating and all this kind of stuff. Now it's a positivity and using and saying God, but no Jesus to be found. They'll say God this and God that. No Christ. And positivity. It just be all God and positivity, but no Jesus, no Jesus in the mix. You can't go to the Father, and while I'm glad they, you know, recognize the Father, but you can't get to him without Jesus. It's impossible. It's like finding, you know, heaven and now you can't enter because you don't have the golden ticket. You don't have the key. So you can God this and God that and positivity and be kind and this and that. And those are great principles, and those are things that you should do. But when it comes to your soul salvation, when it comes to your eternity being sealed, your faith and where you're going to go in for eternity, because this life here is a smoke, it's a vapor. I don't care if you live to be 100. It's like a candle blown out at a birthday party. It's here. It's gone. Just like that. So you could be positive and you could do good works, right? You could practice kindness and you could talk about God this and God that. But if you don't have Christ, your sin, the penalty, is still owed. Because he paid the price. So that's the type of time the world is on right now, is a positivity in God, but no Jesus. No Jesus to be found. No Jesus spoken of. So don't get caught up in that either. Say, oh, yeah, they're a believer because they always talk about God. Do they talk about Jesus? Do they? Do they talk about Jesus? So as this year is closing out, let's be mindful of our words. Let's be mindful of our actions. Let's be mindful of the things that we are making very important. And as we come into the season of 2023, let's seek wisdom. Excuse me, and understanding and buy into the truth. Don't buy into that deception. Don't you be deceived. Don't you listen to the devil. No, listen to that song by the Winans. It's called Don't Be Deceived. Because deception is coming. It's always been there, but it's coming in droves. As we get close to the wind down of this side of this world, we're going to see a lot of deception. And sometimes it's going to be your favorites. So you better study to show yourself approved. And don't just go along, well, the pastor said it's okay to do this. What does God say it's okay to do? Did God approve that? Is God okay with that? Is the word of God line up to that? Because I don't care what no pastor's talking about if it don't line up to the word of God. I've heard some kooky things in my life. Some bizarre, flat-out wacky stuff. And I'm like, no, that's made up. That's some new doctrine. The word of God teaches tell me don't. Nah, I'm not doing that. That's a direct violation. You know, there's a pastor out here. This was years ago. This is when I first moved out here. And he was sleeping with the women in his church and saying that, you know, young women too, very young women, and saying that God wanted them to do it because he was the pastor, and if they're going to be, you know, out there with their flesh burning, it's okay to do it. What? And these young ladies believed him. And he ended up, he was drugging women, and it just became a big old mess. And I believe he might still be in prison. I'm not sure if he got out or what, but don't just be believing and following after what somebody says, just because, you know, they are a self-proclaimed man of God, even if they are a real man of God, if they preach something different in the word. It's one thing for God to give you, you know, a prophetic insight on things and to unlock mysteries of but it still be lining up to the word. It's another thing when they saying something that's in complete opposition of God's word. Like somebody recently literally read this with my own eyeballs and my skull sockets in my head, where somebody believed that God told them to lie on somebody in court and felt God told them to say that. I kid you not, I read it. But this person really adamantly believed that God told them to lie on a person in court, even though the word of God talks about do not bear false witness and a false witness won't go unpunished. That makes no sense. But this is the type of stuff people be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't listen to the devil. So went on longer than I thought. But that's the word going into 2023, is to buy the truth, but don't sell it. Let's read it again. Let's go back there. Let's go to Proverbs 23:23. I'm reading it out of Amplified. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. That's your goal. Somebody says, oh, you get the New Year's resolution? This is what I'm doing for New Year's and every year. Because I got a new day every day. I got a fresh day. I got to choose every single day who I'm going to serve every day. It's not a one and done. I chose Christ back in 98. Nah, it don't work like that. Every day I choose who I'm serving. Every day I make choices and decisions. And I'm always going to factor in buying the truth and not selling it and getting wisdom and instruction and understanding. Make that your goal. If you want to lose weight and all that, great. But let this be the goal, because all this comes along with, if you want to lose weight, guess the best way to lose weight is to have wisdom and instruction and understanding. If you want to buy a home, the best way to have wisdom, instruction, and understanding. You want to mate, the best way is to have wisdom. And so you can't lose with this combo. If you seek the kingdom of God, that other stuff will be added to you. Some things you need to have before you get something else. It's not smart to get married with no wisdom and no instruction, no understanding. I did that. It was a disaster. That didn't end well. But when I did it with wisdom and instruction and understanding, it's been one of the biggest blessings of my life. I've even lost weight before without wisdom, instruction, and understanding. I did lose weight, but I was sick. And then when I've lost weight, with wisdom, instruction, understanding, God teaching me how to eat and all that, it's stuck. You see where I'm going? This is to your benefit. This, you can't lose with this, with wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Seek that. All that other stuff you want to do, great, but guess what? It's going to be enhanced when you have wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Because we'll make unwise decisions because it benefits what we want. But it don't be wise. You know, when people I've seen and busted relationships because they make an unwise decisions because they don't have any patience, or they don't want to admit that they're desperate or afraid to be alone. These are things you have to admit. I had to get to that point in my walk and have God to heal me from that. There's no shame in that. The shame is when you know it's there, you see how you act, and yet you want to still pretend like it's not that. That's crazy. When you know the truth makes you free, but yet you want to operate in lies. You got to be honest. If you see you're making unwise choices and decisions, you got to be honest about what is driving it. I'm going to try to keep up with the Joneses. Do I have low self-esteem? Do this say, am I desperate? What's the cause? If you don't know, the wisdom, instruction, and understanding is going to get to the bottom of it so that you can dig that out, deal with it, and get where you need to be so that you're in a position to receive. Because sometimes you're not in a position to receive because you're broken in that area. Imagine being super thirsty and somebody give you a cup with a hole and with no bottom. So no matter how much they fill that cup up, fill it, it never is going to hold the beverage to give you drink. That's how some of us get in some areas of our life. God can't give us that yet because we're not in position. We need to be fixed. We need to be whole, right? Because a cup ain't whole if it has a cup ain't a W-H-O-L-E whole if it has a H-O-L-E hole at the bottom, right? If the whole bottom out. It can't even do what it's designed to do. A cup is designed to hold beverages. It can't even do that. Even though it's still called a cup, it don't function like one because it's not whole. So it don't matter if you just sitting like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die. I need some water. And the person give you to keep pouring water. You're never gonna be able to drink water out that cup. Until you acknowledge this cup got a hole at the bottom. But how foolish would it be to say, I don't want to admit that they're giving me a cup with a hole, so I'm just gonna die of thirst and let them keep pouring the water and wasting the water. That's what some of us do. We don't want to admit what was so obvious for whatever reason, which is silly. Because now we can't accomplish the things that we're trying to accomplish. If you're trying to accomplish getting a drink from that particular cup, it's silly not to admit, hey, this got a hole at the bottom. Oh, wow, it does. Okay, let's fix that. And that's what some people do every day. They're just thirsty with holes at the bottom of their cup. No, just no bottom. Not even a hole, just no bottom at the bottom. The cup just gone at the bottom. So why can't I hold water? Until you address that hole, it's not going to happen. So you can just keep going around filling it up in different faucets, getting different types of water, the expensive one, the fizzy one, the one with the watermelon flavor and the grape flavor and all that. You can pour as much as you want. It's still not going to hold it. You just keep changing the environment. You keep changing the people you're around. It's not going to change if you're a broken, codependent person or you're desperate. That's what people try to do. They try to change, switch it up, thinking it's trying to prove to them it ain't them. They try to switch it up. Oh, it's those people. So if I just get a new set of friends, if I just cut off these people, it's you. It might work at first, and then the brokenness, whatever, it's going to be exposed because you can't run from you. You can dig a hole in the ground and jump in and bury yourself, and you still in there with you. So you have to deal with you. You got to deal with whatever brokenness or whatever that God needs to put his hand on, and you need to let him put his hand on it. You know, like a lot of people are afraid to go to the doctor, even though they'll know that they're sick, something ain't right in their body, but they're afraid to go, even though that's where they need to go sometimes to get, you know, the healing that they need. Not to say that God can't supernaturally heal you, but sometimes God is prompting you to go to the doctor and you refuse to go. And sometimes we need to go to the great physician, which is, you know, our Lord and Savior to get the healing, but we won't go. We're trying to fix ourselves. It's like somebody trying to put some electrical tape on a broken leg. It's not going to work. And electrical tape has some really great uses, but broken legs, for the long term, ain't one of them. You got to get surgery. You put in a cast sometimes. It depends on the level of the break, but the electrical tape, that's no. And that's what a lot of people do. They put electrical tape on emotional problems. That's not going to work. You need to fix it. Father abandoned you and you got some issues. Okay. You didn't ask to be abandoned. You didn't even ask for the issues, but there they are. You can't control what other people do to you, but you can control how deep that pain goes. That is in your control. Because a lot of people make that excuse. I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask to be raped. No, you didn't ask to be raped. But you could control how deep that pain gets into you. Now, that is something that's in your control. You can't control what they did to your body, but you can control how that pain travels. That's in your control. You can control if you choose to let the hurt go. You can control if you get, you know, mental help, or however God sees fit for you to get the mental help you need. That is in your control. People try to make it seem like things that happened or whatever is causing pain or issues, a failed relationship, a divorce, a deceased loved one, a failed job, a plan that didn't go into fruition, just having hard life, hard times for a very long time, them lying on you, whatever it is. I didn't ask for that. Okay, but you're continuing the pain. That's by choice now. Because you know there's another way, there's an outlet, but you're refusing to utilize it. Because you're reading the Word of God, you got that heavy burden on you, but you refuse to do the exchange for the light yoke. You don't want to talk about it. You want to just bury it. Then lash out when something reminds you of it. No. Let's get to honesty. Let's get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Some of that is the understanding is of yourself. I had to get to that point in my 30s where I had to understand myself. I had to understand why would certain things set me off and all that kind of stuff. Some of it was from trauma from childhood. Some of it is because that's what I'm built for. Like I do not like injustice. I had not had any experiences with injustice that would just, you know, upset me, because God told me I'm called for justice. That's part of my call. So yeah, I don't like injustice. But it's not for me to just sit there and gripe about, I don't like that. It's for me to take action by praying and however God wants me to take any additional action. That's why I believe that I'm called for this state of Texas. There's a lot of injustice here. And I pray when judges and stuff, I see they get on my radar, well, I pray. I'll fast if I need to. Now you're on my radar. So now something's going to be done about it, because the prayers of the righteous availeth much. I believe that. Some people, I see all the time, people say, we need to do more than just pray. Sometimes you do. You know, that's individual. Nobody can tell you what you need to do unless they're led by God. But that's between each person and God on if you need to take additional steps. But they be saying it like prayer don't work and prayer is not effective. It is. Well, at least the prayers of the righteous. If you an unrighteous person, you might as well just, I don't know, juggle and play with a Rubik's Cube, because your prayers are not leaving the ceiling. It's the prayers of the righteous that availeth much. If there was no distinction with certain types of people, then the Word of God wouldn't say that. It wouldn't say the prayers of the righteous. It would just say prayers of humans availeth much, but it don't say that. It says the prayers of the righteous, which means that everybody's prayer ain't availeth in much. Did I say that right? So some people praying in vain. You can save that. I'm going to make you a sandwich or something. Because that prayer, you might as well go fight the wind. And it ain't doing nothing. But when you know you the righteousness of God and you know you call, that prayer is available much. Let's read that real quick. And then I'm going to do a corporate prayer. I'm not going to take individual calls tonight. Because I do have something I need to tend to. I just didn't know it was going to go this long. I only got 20 minutes left. But like I said, I let God lead me. I don't care what my plans are. God's plans are always going to supersede mine. Let's go prayer of the righteous. Let's go the book of James. James 5:16. Let's go there. Let's read that out of the Amplified. That's my favorite. There we go. James. What was that again? 5. No, that's saying admit your faults. Hold on. Okay, yeah, that is it. Okay, so James 5:16, I'm reading it out of Amplified. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Listen, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. We were just talking about that. Thank you, Jesus. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, believer, is able to accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Come on, somebody. Let's read that out of another version. Let's read that out of, ooh, that got me excited. Let's read that out of the NIV because it just breaks it down. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Of a righteous person, not the prayer of the wicked, not the prayer of the world, not the prayer of that person that know they got all sorts of, they got legion of demons. No, the prayer of a righteous person. So don't even believe the hype, because I see believers, I can't tell you how much I see believers feeding into things that the world is saying, and I just be like, oh my. Oh my. And but I see that all the time. Like, we got to do more than just pray. Prayer ain't doing nothing. No, your prayers probably ain't doing nothing. Correct that sentence. My prayers are powerful and effective. Speak for yourself. Because the word all the time about they need to pray. Ain't got no type of Jesus. Who are you praying? Who are you praying to? You ask them, are you a believer of Christ Jesus? No. Oh, but I'm going to pray for them. Pray to whom? Now they feel like Elijah. What's your God doing? What is he? Is he on vacation? Is he using the restroom? Then they would say, prayer don't work. That's because whatever God you serve with the little g, the lowercase g, he gone fishing or something. He went grocery shopping. He's searching for a vacation home or something. I don't know what he doing. But the God that I serve, the true God, causes my prayers to be powerful and effective. So don't be buying into that. Don't think that your prayers are not effective. Don't buy into the world saying, prayer doesn't do nothing. It does when righteous do it. Their prayers don't do nothing. Their prayers, again, they might as well have a V8. Because it's not effective nor powerful. It's a waste. They could just ball it up if they could and slam dunk it in the trash. But your prayers, righteous man, righteous woman of God, they're effective and they're powerful. So don't let nobody tell you otherwise. I don't care what they say. What does the word say? Seek that knowledge. Seek that wisdom. Seek that understanding. Quit just going along with what the world be saying. What does God say? That's the truth. Then people just like some bagpipes. Just loud, filled with hot air. That's it. And when you hear a bagpipe, trust me, it's going to get your attention. One time where I worked, there was, St. Patrick said they had bagpipe players. I don't know whose idea this was. But they thought it was a great idea. People co-signed it to have bagpipe players come walking through the hallway playing the pipes, the bagpipes. Man, and those things are like ear-piercingly loud. Like, they are loud. And somebody said, you know, it would be a great idea. Let's have bagpipe players come and play during business hours. We were like, what in the world is that? Like, man, beautiful music, but very loud and screechy. Because I love all music. To the most, musical instruments, rather, not music in itself with bad lyrics and all that, but I love music. And I can hear the beauty in a bagpipe, but they're loud. So it's going to catch your attention. You have no choice but to be like, what in the world? What's that? And check to see what's going on if you don't know what it is. So that's how the world is. They're like bagpipes, just loud, filled with hot air and screechy. But just because they catch your ear, don't let them keep it. Do not let the world keep your ear, because you'll start growing faith for what they're talking about. They ain't talking about nothing. Nothing. They're zombies. They're the living dead. They're decaying. They're of death. Get into your word. I urge you. Because a lot of deception is going to try to come into the body of Christ. We're going to see that separation. Now, the true believers, to the ones who thought they were believers, they're really looking for handouts. They really look at Jesus like the Aladdin genie. They want to just rub on him and get some wishes. They ain't really about it. They ain't willing to die for it, but they willing to talk about a purse or a perfume is to die for. Really? Mm-mm. Die to self if you want to die for something. If you're just so eager to die for something, die to self daily. How about that? Like Paul said, he died daily. That's to die for. Die to self. Die to your own will and desires when they don't line up. Die to that urge to go off on somebody or to try to prove yourself to be right. Die to that. Say, that's to die for. So that the life that lives in me can shine. I'm going to do a collective prayer and I'm going to get out of here. But 2023, that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on. Let's go back to it again. I'm going to read it one more time before I do the collective prayer. Because I want to bless you. I want you all to get it. You know, God has put us together for a reason. We're not here by coincidence. We didn't stumble upon this network. You know, this is a place that God has called you. And we're here to love one another and to lift up one another and to lift up the name of Jesus and to help one another. And that's what we're going to continue to do. So again, Proverbs 23:23 reads, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're so grateful for your word tonight, Father God, and every night and every day. We're just grateful for you, Father God. We love you. We honor you, Lord. And we just ask, Father God, to help us to be mindful of our seeds, mindful of our words, our deeds, mindful of the things that we do and why we do it. Help us to be peculiar in this world, the peculiar people that you called us to be, to stand out and not blend in. We don't want to be unseasoned like the world. Everybody trying to be like everybody else. They don't have no seasoning. They don't have no flavor if everything tastes and looks the same. But we're called to be the salt of the earth. Salt brings out. Salt differentiates. There's a difference when you taste something that don't have no salt versus when it has salt. Help us to be unafraid and unashamed to be who you called us to be. To say, no, I'm not doing that because my faith doesn't allow that. And not be afraid of, oh, you're this, that, and the other, and not be concerned about what people got to say about us, because the only person we're concerned about is you. And pleasing you and being in your will. So, Father God, help us to be mindful of our words and to continue to sow good seeds as we close out 2022, and help us to buy truth and not sell it, and to get wisdom and instruction and understanding, Father God. We desire those things. Help us, Father God. Help us with those things. Help us to walk in truth in areas where we're broken, Father God, areas where we're lacking, right? People perish for lack of knowledge. A lot of us are perishing in particular areas because we don't have the knowledge. But if we're seeking that wisdom and the instruction and understanding, that's going to come. So help us to be honest about the areas that we're lacking and to get to the root and the seed, because you desire for us to have life and life more abundantly. You died for it. You died for that. That's how much you believe in that. You died for us to have not only life, but to have life more abundantly. And we thank you for it. Help us not to get caught up in deception. Help us to be able to separate the meat from the fat and to not be like the world, who just tears people down when they do see things that are off or wrong, to have compassion and to use our effective and powerful prayers to pray for people. Not just point out, oh, they're wrong. Okay, but what are you doing about it? Let us not just be quick to point out wrong, but to correct it in prayer. If we have an opportunity to speak to that person, if that's what you desire for us to do, if that's the position that we're in. Help us to get back to what the body of Christ is supposed to be doing here in this earth. We're supposed to confess our sins to one another for healing, not to go and gossip and tell the next person or to tear somebody down. It's for healing, because there's truth. When there's truth, then we could be made free. There's power in being able to confess and say, I'm wrong. to a person who loves us and has our best interests at heart, but help us to have love for people so that people could even feel comfortable coming to us with their problems. And us being able to together take it to you. So Lord, do an inventory of us, an inventory of our heart, our mind, our motives, Father God. Do a work in us, Father God, a work, because we know that your word doesn't return void. We know that the work that you started, you will finish. So do a work in us, Father God, to perfect us, even though we will never be perfect, but perfect us in all areas of our lives, Father God, and help us to just continue to do your will and your work, to love you and love one another, and just speak, Father God, a blessing over your people, a real blessing, not what the world calls a blessing, but what you call a blessing, the sound mind, Father God, the health, the ability to operate in joy, in peace, no matter what, to know that you love them, that we are the apple of your eye. Help us to walk in true blessings, Father God. True blessings. I speak true blessings over your people. How you see to bless us. Let it be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love you guys. Call back at 8:45. Hit 1. Get in the queue. Randy's been on fire the longest. And if you guys haven't been tuning into that Revelation series, that's on Tuesdays and Sundays, I highly recommend that you go back and listen. I mean, it has been blowing my mind. Great stuff. Anyways, I will speak to you all next year, God willing. Love you all. And until next time, good night.